Hey gang, you musician here in Austin, you're trying to navigate this music scene? Well, the Austin Music Foundation is a fantastic resource for you. The AMF is a nonprofit whose mission is to strengthen and connect Austin's music community with innovative programs that empower music professionals and Austin's creative economy. With expert panels, consultations, mentoring, and mixers, AMF's programs provide the necessary tools and opportunities to succeed in the Austin music industry. You can find them by going to austinmusicfoundation.org, all right? Reach out, get involved, they'll help you out. Now let's get down.
And you may ask yourself, well, how did I get here?
It's time for How Did I Get Here? And now here is your host.
I'm Johnny, I'm your host. Welcome to the show. Today's a great day. Today is the Sideshow Tragedy Day. Today, their new album, Capital, comes out. Today, May 5th, 2015, the day this podcast comes out. They are also the guests on the show. This is also their third appearance on the show. Nathan, the singer, was the third guest on the show. So we've been doing this for a long time together. Their new album comes out today. I'm extremely excited about it. I've been listening to it now for like a week and a half since they came in and did the show. And man, it is a great album. Get out there and pick it up. Capital, it's available on iTunes today. You can probably find it at Waterloo if you live in Austin. You can find it at one of their shows. They're going to have a record release show at the Continental Club in Austin on May 9th. That'll be their big record release show, putting out Capital. If you live in Austin, I suggest you get out to that. If you live in the Southeast or East Coast, they will be on tour from May 15th to May 30th, hitting such towns as New York, Nashville, and of course the great North Carolina, which I love. These guys, they're great. This is their third time on the show. They're a two-man band. They fill the room with sound. They have incredible energy, and they put out this amazing album today, Capital. So get out there, check it out. Stay tuned for our conversation coming up in just a minute. Let me tell you, I had a great weekend. I got to go to Infinity Plus Infinity. If you listen to the show, you heard it last Tuesday. Elizabeth McQueen and Jerome Morrison put together this show with pseudo holograms that were interactive. You took control of them yourself. You can go see pictures of it on the Facebook page. How Did I Get Here? On Facebook, I've got posted a couple pictures of it. And Elizabeth McQueen played with her band EMQ, featuring Lindsey Green and Lauren Gorgiulo, who was once a guest on the show. Anyway, the show was fantastic. The songs were beautiful. It was all themed about basically her relationship and, you know, having a long relationship in general, being married to someone. Both the highs and the lows, realizing like, hey, I've got a partner for life. And then also realizing, hey, I got to live with this person for the rest of my life. So that was really beautiful, very intense. People got very into the pseudo holograms. People got very into the music. People were getting into these, like sort of doing these interactive pseudo holograms while Elizabeth was playing. So it was really cool. It was like performance art. I like it when people get out there and do something like that. So congratulations to Jerome and Elizabeth for doing such a great show. So then Friday, I ended up going to Chepo Fest. Yeah, my friend Chepo sadly has come down with some cancer, and he's been working it out, and they've been having some benefits for him, and I got to go to it because I was off on Friday, and I got to play. I got to play with my friend David Garza, Amy Cook, my old friend Sean Mullins, not the singer-songwriter guy, but the guitar player that was in my old band Gowdy and Johnny Gowdy and the Little Champions. Very dear friend. It was fun. I got to get up and play with them. Got to see a lot of people get up and play. David played a lot of songs. It was great. It was just a lot of fun. There was a lot of different people there. Andrew Duplantis. Ran into Ethan Azarian, who was on the show on Friday. I ran into him there. He was having a good time. He did not play, though, or maybe he did, and I didn't see him. But that was a great thing. And then afterwards, Zuri and I took off and went to the Gatsby on 6th Street and saw my friend Darren Murphy from Skyrocket and Corey from Skyrocket and Rusty from Skyrocket. It was great. Great show. They have a band called Bottle Rocket that plays music from the 60s. It was a great time. I got to see my old friend Michael Kincaid, who's been on the show a few times from What Made Milwaukee Famous, and the band The Motts. Got to run into my old friend Renee. And yeah, Zuri and I had a great time. had some paneers at the end of the night from this great Indian food trailer downtown. I suggest if you're downtown in Austin, there's a little food trailer place on like 7th and Red River. It's got like a bunch of different ones. Go to the Indian one. It's really great. Fantastic. Get a paneer. Great sandwich for the end of the night. Saturday, Skyrocket played at the 1-to-1 bar. We played an early show. It was a great show. We had a good time. I stuck around and watched Shelley King afterwards and saw Sarah Brown was playing bass with her. I really enjoyed seeing her always. She's a legend of the blues. And yeah, it's been a good time. I've been staying at my ex-girlfriend Sandy's house, house-sitting and dog-sitting, hanging with my dogs. We've been having a great time. We've been, you know, doing stuff, snuggling, playing outside, running around. I think I should give them baths. They smell bad from being out in the sun all the time. But yeah, it's been a great, great stay there. So yeah, good weekend. Good times. A lot of events. The Chepo Fest was really fun. I hope Chepo was in great spirits, and he seemed to be feeling great. He played a lot that night, so that was good to see. It was good to see a bunch of old friends, Todd Wolfson. A lot of people. Good times. All right. Well, look, today is a great day. Capital is out. May 9th, Continental Club, record release. If you live in Austin, get out there and see the Sideshow Tragedy. Go to thesideshowtragedy.com and find out if they're coming to a town near you between May 15th and May 30th. And I know they're going to Europe later in the year. But we have a great conversation about making the album, where they are at as a band. Nathan's become a dad since the last time he was on the show. And yeah, we had a great conversation. Sit back, enjoy it. Go to thesideshowtragedy.com and find out where you can get this album, Capital. I'm sure you can get it on iTunes. You can probably find it on Spotify soon, Waterloo in Austin, or go to the release show May 9th at the Continental Club in Austin, or see them while they're on tour May 15th through May 30th in the Southeast and East Coast. All right? Here's my conversation with Nathan and Jeremy from The Sideshow Tragedy. Third time on the show. Let's get down.
Have the nerve to fight. What makes you think I'm so strong? I'm so confused, I stay awake all night, and my memory is too long. All the mountains are silver and gold, all the slaves whistling away. It's not anything like everything I've been told. I don't remember where I was yesterday. 2000 years.
If I would let my kid play football now with all the... We know, it's not just the...
You mean because it's
whatever
unsafe?
Whatever guy's name. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I mean,
there's guys that are like, hey, man, you know, it's not worth it.
No, it's not worth
Shit,
it.
Shit, I don't know. I mean...
A boxer. Look at that guy. He knows he's going down.
Yeah, you're going to get... That's brain damage. That's going to happen eventually if you keep doing it.
Football,
if
too.
If your son was like 13 and was like, Dad, I really have a proclivity for fighting, you know, for that kind of thing, and I'm super into it, and it's a dream I'd like to follow, we'd just be like, no, you're going to turn your mind to mush. Like, how do you handle that as a parent? Sorry to lay this on you.
Well, luckily, he's only a year and a half old, so I don't have to, like, really cross this bridge yet. But, right. It's almost like you could, I mean, it's just as good to ask you or to ask Jeremy what they would do about their son. Cause I mean, it's like, I guess I wouldn't know until I was in that position. My first inclination though is to say that I would, you know, kind of encourage him to do some shit if he was like super into it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Because being a boxer is, that's some badass shit. And being a football player is some badass shit. Like, you know, like if you want to do something really bad, then you shouldn't. Have some, like, I can imagine if my parents told me I couldn't play guitar and go out to clubs when I was a teenager, what kind of person I would have turned into.
Football player.
Or just a disgruntled asshole. You know what I mean? I'm glad that my parents are super supportive of everything I did. And I mean, shit, it's not like physically dangerous, like getting your head beat in, but you know, like the types of people that you meet, you know, unsavory characters and I mean, drugs and alcohol and all that shit. I mean, going and doing that is dangerous as well.
Right.
It's potentially dangerous.
It is kind of physically dangerous, too.
Yeah, sure. I mean, life's...
In a different way.
Why is there such a premium on safety, anyways? I don't... longevity, you know?
Cuidado.
You live forever, but you didn't enjoy a single fucking minute.
No.
You know?
You're right. Would you encourage him to wear a helmet when he rides a bike? That's coming. I would.
I mean, absolutely. If he's a little kid, I would say you got to wear a helmet. I actually thought about that the other day when I was on my bike, and he'd say, well... How come you don't have to wear a helmet? And I would tell him that I was an adult and you know, my head is harder and I'm better at riding a bike than he is.
That's kinda...
You should tell him that I think you should wear a helmet.
And again, with the safety thing, it's a cultural thing too, you know.
This is the oddest start to one of these shows.
Well, I've never had a helmet. I ride a bicycle. I don't. It's just it's just a boring argument. The helmet argument.
Yeah.
I don't wear a helmet. I'm not going to.
Okay.
You know, it's clunky.
You do have incredible hair. Who does your hair?
I smoke cigarettes too. Do what?
Who does your hair?
My friend Lydia cuts my hair. Yeah.
Jeremy's just nodding.
You have great hair as well.
Thanks. I don't know what's going on with it today.
To be honest, I feel like the evolution of my haircut was partially inspired by you, to be honest.
That's good.
You and Jeremy Nail both had like some like real cool rocking hair, and
that's
mine was
nice.
A bit flat, and you know, kind of maybe it was cut right, but I wasn't doing it right. I wasn't doing something right, so you know, I was taking notes.
Well, you know what? You were the guy that told me about the jeans.
Jesus
Jeremy.
Christ.
Come on, this is a real show. This is the real thing.
This is a real show.
how's it going, Jeremy?
I'm doing well.
You had a flat tire on your bike today.
I did have a flat tire on my bike.
And you wear a helmet.
I wore my helmet the whole way home.
He had a helmet on and he still got a flat tire.
Yeah. Jesus.
More logic from Nathan Singer. Jesus fucking Christ.
You guys have a new album out, or coming out, sorry, Capital.
Yeah.
That's exciting. It sounds different to me. There's an evolution.
Uh-huh.
And I was trying to put my finger on it. What is it?
You mean like from the last?
There's a different, yeah.
Well, there's things that are on the last record that are... that I'd say are more fully realized, and I know that it was a conscious move towards stuff that was like based on groove and not like not like chord changes and melody and stuff like that. It was just based on like a real hypnotic groove. And I think on the last record, like there's a song Something to Do is kind of like that, but even there, I think the last record is a little bit more, you know, traditional rock song oriented with like a verse and maybe a bridge and a chorus and stuff. But this one was, I wanted the grooves to be like the thing that was like front and center. So I don't know. Is that, that's the evolution I hear.
Yeah.
It was conscious. It was done on purpose.
I hear a little bit more almost like a poetry lyrics, like almost like there's some almost like talking.
Yeah.
Kind of singing.
Well, I always like that kind of delivery, Nick Cave and Leonard Cohen and
there was
Lou
almost,
Reed.
There was one song that reminded me of Lou Reed.
Well, those guys are all I love all their music and stuff. And I mean, it's not quite poetry, you know, mm-hmm. because it's depends on being with the music, like that's
right.
It's of a piece,
yeah,
you know.
Yeah,
like
yeah,
it's not
yeah.
it's not something you read; it's something you listen to.
Right.
And the music
right.
is a part of the mood, but it isn't like a traditional song where it's more about how like the voice sounds than it is about what's being said. It's a little bit. It's not as surface level as you know, like a lot of like you know, like a traditional rock song. Maybe that's just like "Baby, I Love You."
Right, right.
You know that
right.
kind of thing. So.
Let me ask you this. How did you guys do it this time? Again, like just live, the two of you guys?
Yeah. Yeah. Oh. Just, we set up in the studio. The studio, we actually booked a tour to get up to the studio in Catskill, New York called Old Soul Studios.
Uh-huh. Why there?
I saw a band, I'm a huge Chris Whitley fan. And I saw him play in 2003 and his band called Johnny Society opened for him.
Uh-huh.
And
you're playing with them,
yeah, in New York. Yeah, they're playing the CD release party in New York. Anyway, he produced. I love their band, and also he produced Chris Whitley's last record, Rider In. It was done in that studio and produced by Kenny. And Kenny actually co-wrote some of the songs on the album. And we always loved the way that record sounded, and especially the way the drums sounded. And we've been trying to get that sound for a while. And you know, we thought instead of trying to, you know, take that record around to engineers and producers and be like, can we make this record sound like this?
Why don't you just go to the
email
guy.
That guy and see if, and he emailed me right back and was like, I dig what you're doing. Like, let's do this. And and it was just the details. And, you know, a year later, we were up there making it, and it was great. But we set up, there's like, it's just like a house. Like, it's not, it doesn't look like a spaceship like a lot of studios do. You know, it's very much like there's still, there's furniture in it, you know. And we recorded live, and the thing that separated us was not, not like baffles or anything. It was a glass door, you know, so we could see each other while we played.
Okay.
And, you know, we just did like 3 or 4 or 5 takes of every song and just kind of blew through it over a few days and went back and picked out our favorite takes. And I overdubbed the vocals, and, you know, there's some guitar overdubs here and there, but that's pretty much it.
Do you play to a click, Jeremy? No, it's just natural.
No, I don't.
And you guys have played now for how long? How long have you guys played together? Because at first you guys started, when I first met you, you
12
three years. Piece.
Yeah.
So you guys have been together 12 years.
Well, in different bands. We met,
right.
We
you
met
guys
12
speak
years
each other's unspoken language.
Yeah.
Right.
And this band has existed in name as the Sideshow Tragedy for 8 years. Mm-hmm. And we started as a two piece. And
it's 9 now.
At 9 years now. Yeah. Oh, 9 years this spring, I guess. But we wanted a bass player, and we got one. Justin, you know him.
Yes.
And he played with us. Well, actually, it was another friend of ours. Eric played for a little bit first, and then Justin played. And, you know, that was like we made a couple records that way, and Justin decided he was kind of over it and didn't want to do it anymore. And rather than replace him, we, you know, went back to what we were doing before, which is being a two-piece. And it's just kind of part of what we do. It's not anything like we're not trying to do like the two piece
right,
blues like
right.
It was born of necessity.
Yeah,
in that
it's
we
totally
knew that
pragmatic.
We could make it me and him because we have the same road philosophy and kind of musical philosophy, and like you said, we speak the same, you know, language, and so that's how it started. And we got a bass player because we really liked Justin and we liked the way he played. And so when he stopped, it was like, well, we don't just have to go find some bass
right.
player. We'll just go back to the way that it was, you know, and continue on the road.
Yeah. So. How did you like working up there in the Catskills?
It was great.
Yeah?
It was just awesome.
What, did you, how much miking up of your drums did you do? Because I think the last one you did kind of minimal, right?
Yeah, it was, the thing about this place is that Kenny lived there. He doesn't live there now, but he lived there for a long time, and he had the room tuned. And so he had drum sounds in 30 minutes.
Just for your drums.
Fantastic, yeah. And I used a hybrid kit. I used some of his stuff. I used the kick drum from Rider Inn. And some of my stuff, but he, you know, he knows how to mic up a drum set in that room. It's just, you put the mics here, the drums sound great, you start tracking. So yeah. It didn't take very long. There were ample mics, but it was just pretty immediate. He just had this, he had the sound right away.
And he's been
really cool.
Yeah, he's been recording there for, I think, 10 years at least, something like that. And there's no effects on the record. You know,
like, the house is the effect.
Yeah, it's just the way the rooms sound.
The rooms, yeah.
Yeah.
So. That's cool.
Yeah.
That makes it... hey, so you guys were on 2 years ago? 2 years ago, I saw that. And
yeah.
And Nathan, you were one of the very first guests.
Yeah.
Ever. Like in the... Like one of the first... Like I think you might have even been in the third.
I think... Yeah, third or fourth. That was 2011.
Show. Yeah, and so last time you guys were on was 2013. You guys have been to Europe since then?
Twice.
How is that going?
Good.
Do you find that classic thing that you feel like maybe what you're doing is appreciated there?
Yes.
A lot more than here?
Absolutely.
Yeah?
I think it's American music. Like, they're just into it, you know? Like, it's like...
And a cultural appreciation for the arts.
Yeah,
you
treat it like
sound, you know, cliched or whatever, but there's a reason it's a cliche, is because they have more appreciation for the arts generally in Europe than we've seen over here. Not that people don't appreciated here, and we don't have, you know, great fans and have fun with audiences, but it's really a marked change when you get over there just immediately.
Yeah. You know. Do you get press, and do they play you on the radio and stuff?
Yeah, we just got a record deal there.
No way.
In the Netherlands, yeah. So we've got that whole, it's being, you know, pressed and distributed in Europe. I actually haven't even seen it yet, what it looks like. They mailed one to me, but...
Are they doing a different, like an album cover and stuff?
It's marginally different, like not, you know, like it says stuff in Dutch on it.
Yeah.
But it's not really that different. It's still cool to think about, you know. But yeah, we've gotten some press over there.
We got played on the radio in Scotland the other day.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
I can't remember the radio station now, which sucks.
How does that work over there? There's different territories. So, like, say you got a record deal in the Netherlands, but then you can also get a French record deal. You can get a British record deal. You can get a... Yeah.
I don't know. It's, I don't know actually how that works. I know ours is for all of... I mean, it's based in the Netherlands, but it's for all Europe. So.
Okay. And they have distribution all over Europe.
Yeah. Right, and he's hired a publicist in the UK, so it's this record deal is for the continent.
Okay.
Of Europe.
All right, and so when you go, you're obviously planning on releasing it there, and you'll be going over there.
October.
Okay. Okay. Yeah. For how long? For like a month?
A couple weeks. 3 weeks, something like that.
How long have your tours been so far?
How long have they been?
Yeah. When you go over there, it's 2 weeks.
2 weeks, like, yeah.
And where all are you going?
So we've just been to Belgium and to France. We played in Paris, France last year, which is, you know, a great joy. It's a beautiful city.
So. Yeah. Do you get to spend a little time? I mean, when you, like, did you get to spend some time in Paris and do some Parisian things?
Off. Yeah. We went to the outside of the Louvre and like looked at the glass pyramid and all the people taking the pictures like they're pretending like they're holding it up and stuff. It was pretty cool. We got a picture on some really nondescript steps there.
That's nice. Did you get to go? You know, when I was there for like a number of days, but I never went in the Eiffel Tower.
No, we didn't. We saw it from afar.
We saw it from the Basilica de Sacré-Cœur.
So when you go there, do you
which
have
was super cool?
You have like a tour manager and stuff that is assigned to you.
Yeah, he's
you
actually coming over
and
here.
Stuff over there?
And we've got that, and he's actually coming to the States for this upcoming tour. Tour managers in the States.
Oh no,
and
shit.
He's never been to the States before, so we're really excited to be tour guides. You know,
and he likes driving.
Yeah,
that's amazing. Which so is this really is great. Is this your first time that you guys will have somebody helping out on the road? No, you
no,
guys
we've had people come along before.
It's not the first time, but it's
not a usual thing.
Yeah, usually it's just the two of us.
Right.
I'm trying to keep it as a, you know, it's a overhead
streamline.
How you guys have it down to a thing now? Do you do a lot of West Coast stuff? Because I see you do a lot of Southeast and a lot of East Coast stuff.
No, we're going to the West Coast for the first time in a couple years this summer.
Okay, but you built up the East.
Yeah,
the Southeast.
East
pretty
and Southeast
well.
Is kind right. of our that's our main yeah. our main place that we play. Yeah,
and you're hitting that for a couple of weeks, and that's this guy's coming. What's his name?
His name is Bert.
Bert.
Yeah.
Is he French?
Bert, I think is how you actually pronounce
Bert?
It.
Bert.
Belgian.
Yeah, he's Belgian.
Bert. Yeah. I think is how they told us how to say it.
It's difficult.
They could have been messing with us.
They just thought us Bert was fine, so we're gonna stick with Bert.
That's good. So they're sending him here to work with you, or he's coming?
He's coming on his own. I wanted somebody to do it, especially because it's a CD release. You know, there's like a little bit higher profile shows and more press and things like that. And it'd be nice. It's nice to have someone that can help. You know, especially like selling merch, driving, all of the. Non being on stage parts of the night, and he'd never been to the States and he wanted to go, so you know,
good.
It's like he's an excellent tour guide and of Europe, so I think we made me want to return the favor.
Yeah, you get to show him the Nick.
Yeah,
in Birmingham.
Well, you know, European like America
people that like people
the
in Europe
are not paved with cheese.
European like music fans like blues and stuff that are into blues and old rock and roll and things like that, like the South and I mean Texas.
Oh yeah,
and,
they want to see that shit.
I mean, it's like it's a mythical place.
Sure.
Like it's like where all that shit comes from. And I mean, I feel like so many Americans, myself included, take it for granted. You know, it's like this is where. you know, you could just drive down to, you know, like the crossroads where Robert Johnson sold his soul to the devil, and it's like that's where Elvis was born, and there's this Hank Williams' childhood home, and it's all just on the interstate, and, you know, we just see all that stuff all the time. And this is like the most, you know, the greatest music, you know, in that's been made, you know. I mean, at least in my mind. So it's cool to like to see it through European eyes, because it's like a real special thing, and it's exotic, and, you know, I can't think of an analog, but you know, it's cool. It's
the feeling is still there too in a lot of places, for better or worse, you know, like Mississippi and Alabama, like it's still got some of that. What, you know, it's like if you read about, like, oh, the South and the blues and stuff like that, and you're like, oh, these little small towns and, you know, these little clubs and shit like, that still exists in places. You can still go rock a juke joint and people are just going crazy into the night. So
I saw you guys are playing somewhere in Mississippi. Is that, that's what it's like there?
Which one?
We play, there's a place we play in Ocean Springs a lot called Government Street Grocery. It's just a little, you know, a little tiny club. In a little town, and I mean, you know, it's just a good spot, you know, just lots of people like to listen to music, like to dance, they treat us really well.
Yeah,
you know, there's pockets of that,
and then there's just all night, you know, after that it's like, oh man, cool, we're done, it's two, and it's like, well, let's go down the street to this other club that stays open until 6 a.m.
Yeah, it's that Southern hospitality.
Oh, oh yeah,
get you drunk as,
I don't
want to
do this anymore. I want to go home.
At least now you have Bert to fend them off.
We'll just blame it on Bert.
Yeah,
no, yeah. Bert, I mean, he's tired.
Bert. Whatever, man, he's Belgian. They drink like gallons of beer. It's like 12 point beer. It's like we're, Jeremy and I are laying on the ground, and he's like, can't drink any more beer? What's wrong, guys?
Yeah.
You know, so.
How, like, when you went there and started playing, when you went to Europe and did these shows, were you opening for people? Or were you having, like, your own shows? Like, tonight, band from America.
Yeah, you know? I mean, we were playing in smaller clubs, and, I mean, we played a couple shows where there were other bands, but mostly it was just us, you know.
And what were you, like, how long were you doing? Like, a
anything from an hour couple to sets maybe something? A couple sets. Same thing we do here. Yeah. Which, you know, depends on the type of show you're playing.
Yeah.
Like, we played in Paris, it was like a punk rock show where every band plays for 40 minutes, and there were three of us, I think, maybe four. Three or four bands.
What are the bands, what are, the, like, the rock bands there like? Are they cool? Or is it weird?
Both.
Yeah?
Yeah. It's like, not the same, you know?
Do they sing in English? Like, the bands you played with?
Okay. Most of the time, yeah.
Okay.
You know, English is a language of pop music, so.
Yeah.
Even if it's not your native language, you learn to sing with an American accent and stuff, you know.
Yeah.
And they cook you dinner, too, at the club. Like, you get to go behind the bar, and they've, like, made dinner, which is just odd. Like, oh, please, come back here. Don't worry about anybody else out there. You can come back here and sit down and, like, have a meal and a beer before.
It seems like in the 90s, there was a couple of places that did that. There was a place... It was a place I remember you would go to the people's house before the gig, and it got to where it was like, oh, I don't have to go to their house. Then you'd insult them if you didn't want to.
Right.
Right.
Yeah. This is the thing about these places is that a lot of the clubs are their house.
Yeah. Oh, that's cool.
It's like you go behind the kitchen, and then there's stairs up.
Yeah.
And then they live above the club, you know. So it was very much appreciated. Also, just to have a respite, like an actual green room, because nobody can go behind the bar. Everybody knows they're not allowed to walk behind the bar.
Right. So except the band guys.
You can really, like, just be like, oh, well, I'm going to go back here for 30 minutes and sit down and chill out for a minute, you know?
Yeah. Do you find that the people that are coming to see you guys are people that come and see other bands, like, from Texas that play there?
Yeah.
Like, and they're like, they're hey, do you know Monty Warden? Or why did I think of that name? That was weird. But, yeah.
Well, yeah, because... they're, you know, I mean, if somebody travels all that far, then they're, you know, they're...
there's more incentive to show up just to see what the deal is,
right,
at least, you know.
Right. I'm just always trying to... I'm curious because I get so many bands in here that go over there. Everyone from, like, Scorpion Child, you guys, Kimmy Rhodes, like, all different kinds of music is going over there, and they feel like the response is more positive, that there's more of a excitement. Do you feel like...
Well, one thing I noticed about, like, another thing, if you look at a European music fans, or at least ones that I got to see, the, like, their record collection is, like, or what their or their iPod or, you know, some CD stacks in their car, like, is way more eclectic than a lot of, like, what people listen to here.
Oh, right.
You know what I mean? Like, you go see a Bill at a club, like, you know, and it's like the bands all sound real similar, and that's not nearly as critical to, like, a European music fan. They're listening to everything from, you know, someone like Guy Forsyth to...
Skrillex
to Nick Cave
to
the Sex Pistols to you know Lana Del Rey or something there's just whatever, like they're just, is it good or is it not,
right?
And you know, people will comment a lot because we don't necessarily fit in neatly into a genre, but we play with a lot of different kinds of music. Like, we do, like, you know, these like southern blues type of gigs,
right?
And we also play in like punk clubs,
right?
Because intense and loud, and kind of confrontational or whatever. And but also you know, play with just some regular rock bands or whatever. And sometimes people will be like, well, that was a weird bill,
yeah,
you know, because we were on it,
right?
Because we don't fit quite into like a certain niche, you know. But it's like, that is just never anything that anybody talks about in Europe. It's just like, well, that was good, or I didn't like that band very much. But none of this, like, that's weird, you know. I don't know how to process this.
Yeah,
it's mostly just our culture, you know.
Right.
It's not people's fault. It's the way that marketing and advertising and all that stuff works in this country.
Yeah,
you know, it's different there. So.
There was a band that I hosted this showcase thing at Lucky Lounge during South by Southwest, and there was a band that was a rock band that was on there, and the rest of them had like drum machine stuff, and there was a little more pop, you know, kind of what's really happening right now in popular music kind of bands, and they were pissed off to be on that bill. And I was kind of like, man, you really stand out. Like, if you guys just dig into what you do, you'll be the coolest fucking band here. Because you're nothing like everyone else. It's the exact same amount of guys doing the exact same kind of thing with the same sounds.
Right.
Like, you can really stand out. But it seemed like even, I don't know. To me, that's what I was like. It seems like I would want to be on a bill with not a bunch of bands that were just like me.
Right.
Yeah.
I mean, it seems just more fun.
I mean, I like a lot of different kind of music, you know?
Yeah.
So it's
what
I don't understand why it would be so bad to have to listen to several different kinds of bands.
Well, I know you're not supposed to say anything positive about South by Southwest anymore, but that's the cool thing. I work at a bar, and the cool thing about it is that you do get sometimes these day shows, especially where it's like weird techno, weird, like, you know, girl dressed up in like schoolgirl uniform dancing around to like weird synth stuff, and then like band that sounds like the Replacements, and then all this other shit, and it's like, wow, cool, all right, yeah, just keep throwing out weird shit, like, this is more exciting than being like, and now we're gonna have six girls in a row dressed up
totally
in schoolgirl uniforms
and playing ukulele.
That's old, schoolgirl for
like
some
the
reason.
Beatles records are like that, and Led Zeppelin records are like that, like where it's like all over the, what is this, there's a reggae song, there's a, you know, some kind of psychedelic experimental thing, there's rockin' song, R&B song, ballad. Like, it's just like not cool to do that anymore. You know?
A song about Gollum.
Well, the lyrics is a whole different conversation. I was just talking about excellent production.
Yes. Hey, so what do you guys feel about this streaming music thing that has maybe taken over since last we spoke? Like Spotify,
know.
Pandora. Do you not, like, you don't know, as in you don't even, it's not, you don't have an account, and you don't.
I don't either.
I don't.
I don't either.
I just,
is your music
on
there?
I have a record player. Is it on there?
What?
I think so.
Yeah.
Probably is.
Well, the new one, I mean, it will be on there when it comes out, but yeah, it's on Spotify.
One of those
stuff.
Things where it's like, oh man, I guess the artists are getting screwed over.
Well,
but you have to be on there, or else how do you?
No one's
going to
find
your
you.
Music,
right.
It's like radio
right.
now.
I think know? That it's a, you know, there's guys like Mark Rebo, and I can't remember. There was somebody else I was reading something. It was like Billy Bragg or somebody like that. It may not have been him. I don't know. But Mark Rebo, for sure, I've talked about how, like, the, you know, the way it's set up for people to be paid, for artists to be paid, is, like, not, it's something that makes, like, you know, the owners of the company, like, you know, millionaires, billionaires, or whatever, but the artists are making, like, comparatively little amount of money. And it's an important, it's an important thing to bring up, and, you know, it probably needs to be worked on, but it is definitely, like, a, you know, bigger artists' battle to fight. It's not our battle, you know what I mean?
Right.
Because for us, it's like...
But the thing is each record selling means that you can get gas to the next town. So in some ways, it's almost more important to you
yeah,
guys
but
to
people,
sell a record.
But people buy them anyway, just because they want...
People are going to buy the record. They're going to buy the record whether they can hear it on Pandora for free or not.
Yeah,
in my experience, they're like, okay, I like this, I'm going to buy this. Because you don't have to buy any of it anymore. You don't have to buy TV shows, you don't have to buy movies, you don't have to buy music. And especially with smaller artists or, you know, traveling musicians, I feel like people are like, I really like this, I'm going to buy this because I want the artifact, or I just want to support these guys, you know, because you can get it if you know how to... work with computers,
yeah,
you can get the thing.
Buying an album from an indie band at a club show, and you know, is it's a collectible thing, you know. So that I think that is the appeal of it,
and a token of experience. Like, oh man, I remember when we saw this band, they were so cool. You know, like I have this at my house so that I see it when my friends come over, and I go, oh hey, check this out, this band is really good. Whereas if it's just
I've had people
in the ether somewhere. I don't know. It's not as likely to happen.
Yeah, I see people come up to the merch booth. This guy's come up before and said, "Is this album on?" I'll hold up the record and say, "Is this album on iTunes?" And I'd say, "Yeah." And then he pulls out his phone and finds it on iTunes and buys it in front of me just to show me that he paid money for it. You know, so
oh, that's cool.
There's that. I run into that a bunch. You know, I think people. I think the awareness in our culture is there that like. Especially like a smaller bands, you know, bands like us, need that help. I think people know that, and I think that they're glad to help. I mean, you know, with very little exception, I feel nothing but like really overwhelming support.
That's good
from people. You know,
yeah. I don't hear that a lot.
I mean, that
like some people are freaking out. You know what I mean? Some people are totally into it. Like,
well,
it
depends on what you're expecting too. You know?
Yeah.
Like you go into it with no expectations, and you just want to play. You know?
You go play a good show, people are gonna buy the record. They're like, "Wow, I want this."
And you guys have learned that, man. You know? I mean, that there's a certain when you're out there, you can't just you know go half-ass into it.
No. What are you out there?
Shit, I saw you at the Double Wide, in Dallas.
Yeah, we're playing there in June.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. Play there all the time.
I missed that, but do they still have the Kenny Loggins?
Which yeah, is it's my called something different drinking. Now, though.
What?
They call it something different.
How is it
You're
still
talking
the
about the Yoo-Hoo drink, right?
Yeah.
It's like Yoo-Hoo a white Russian. Yeehaw.
Triple espresso.
Yeah, Yoo-Hoo Yeehaw, I think is what it's called.
Oh, I guess they got to change the name.
Because nobody knows who Kenny Loggins is, man.
I guess not
Kids
anymore.
Kids these days. Son of a bitch.
Kids these days. They don't know who he is. what else? I was going to talk to you about something, but I just totally lost my train of thought. What does it say in French inside your album?
I don't know. I don't speak French. No, it says,
exit here and then turn right.
It says, for you wander aimlessly without knowing that men need hope, need unity, need struggle to explain the world and to change it. And it's from poet Paul Eluard. Poetry must have practical truth as its goal. He's a surrealist poet, close confidant of Picasso.
Oh, are you like a poetry guy?
Yeah.
Are
yeah,
you?
I guess so. I mean, not like, I don't know, like, I don't have like a, what would you say, comprehensive knowledge or a wide base of knowledge about like the history of poetry. I didn't study it in college.
But you read it.
I like it and I read it, yeah. A lot of French poetry, like so the surrealist and there's a guy, they call him a Cubist poet named Pierre Reverdy, who I like a lot. And, you know, I like the beats. I'm reading Leonard Cohen's poetry right now.
Oh, yeah?
Just because, I mean, I like his music and read novel Beautiful Losers, which is a total trip. I mean.
Really?
Nuts, yeah.
Now, he's a Scientologist.
He was, okay. Briefly for a couple years.
But now he's a Buddhist.
He's a Zen monk and a practicing Jew.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
I knew he was Jewish. That's a lot
it's
of
like
stuff
everything.
Going on.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He said something, and the quote may not be exactly right, but he said something like, religion is my favorite hobby.
Yeah. He's into his finding meaning.
Yeah. He's an interesting guy. If you read his biography, he's pretty...
I should.
I'm a big fan of him and, you know, guys like that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Bob Dylan.
Yeah.
Tom Waits, whatever.
The smart guys.
I guess so.
I mean, they're all smart guys.
Yeah.
It's not like you're into that guy from Wasp. You know what I mean? From Wasp.
Oh, no. I
do you know that's a band?
I know Kenny Loggins. Is it?
Kenny Loggins is not the guy from Wasp.
Kenny Loggins was a Wasp.
Kenny Loggins. Hey, listen to this. In Skyrocket, just 2 years ago, he played before us. Or we played after him at a private event.
Kenny Loggins or the guy from Wasp?
No, Kenny Loggins.
Okay.
They don't put us up with the guy from Wasp. I don't think anybody hires the guy from Wasp for a private event. But this was like a fundraiser. Let me tell you something, man. Kenny plays a 40-minute set in this kind of situation. A 40-minute Kenny Loggins set is pretty, like, you're like, shit, damn. Like, I mean, he had a lot of hits, man.
Yeah.
A lot of hits.
Yeah, that's like the...
Just movies, like... Footloose, Caddyshack.
Yeah.
Highway to the Danger Zone.
That's a jam, dude.
Kenny Loggins.
Yeah, he was great. Can R.I.P. I tell you a little story? He's not dead. We wanted to meet him really bad, and so there was like two exits from the stage, and so we went to one. There's seven of us, right? And we are like fucking excited to meet Kenny Loggins. And as the show goes on, our faces just get more excited. So he says, thank you, good night. And he turns, starts walking towards our side of the stage and like literally looks at all of our faces and like looks at his manager, like his stage manager guy's like, well, wait a minute, I'm not going there. And he's like, no, you can go off the other side. He turns around and goes off the other side. We scared him. He couldn't take the highway to our danger zone.
I kind of like that.
It's a little too dangerous.
He's like, oh, that's a lot of conversations. I got to go somewhere else.
What, you guys have any new music that you've heard lately that you like?
Oh, man, I do.
That's a tough one, isn't it?
Oh, man.
Jeremy?
Yes.
Jeremy, can you say what bar you work in?
I work at the Black Heart.
Oh, okay. That's a great place.
Yeah, it's really cool.
You guys are playing there.
We do Tuesdays.
Yeah. Tonight.
The Adventures of Wolf Dog and Dirt Boy, which is really just, it's members of the Sideshow Tragedy. And then it's me and Nathan.
Featuring members of the Sideshow Tragedy. Both
What
of
do
us.
You guys do there? Something different? Or
it's a more
what do you do?
Relaxed kind of thing. I just play kick, snare, and use brushes, and we just kind of do whatever we want to.
Yeah, it's a way to, like, because as the Sideshow Tragedy, like, as you know, we became a two-piece again, and then we made this record Persona, and it's, like, pretty...
aggressive.
There's some weight to it. It's very serious.
Yeah.
You know, and this new record's very serious, and it needs to be that way, and it's part of what it is. It's a statement, you know? I mean, if you're making a thing, and that can weigh down on you. It can be heavy, but you don't want to, like... I don't feel comfortable like to go out under the name of the Sideshow Tragedy and do this thing that we put all this effort into making a certain way, and then to just like be kind of like
goofy
or to take chances that may not work, you know.
That's
to cover a like left field song or something, you know, like so we just
that I've
like,
never heard before he starts
yeah,
playing.
So it's just an outlet to just kind of like. Just do whatever, whatever feels good, whatever comes out. To have fun, I guess. You know, not that the Sideshow Tragedy isn't fun. I wouldn't use the word fun or pleasurable. I'd use the word
scripted.
I would use the word satisfying to describe Sideshow Tragedy. And Wolf Dog and Dirt Boy is fun.
Yeah.
You know. So.
Well, I mean, do you do that a lot outside of Sideshow Tragedy stuff? I mean, do you do like? Is that like? Do you guys?
Every Tuesday at the Black Heart.
Outside of there. Like, do
oh,
you,
no.
Like, do people hire you for a party or something?
No,
like,
that's
oh.
a Black Heart only thing.
Okay.
Yeah, we just do it there every Tuesday. And that's enough. I mean, honestly, I think, like, I mean, if you're working on a band thing, and you don't want to spread yourself too thin. I mean, you want you want to kind of like put. I mean, at least for me, I think some people are probably into the band. Inspired and talented enough to do tons of shit, but I'm not. So I gotta just concentrate on this one thing and just put all of my energy.
Well, you guys have also built it.
Yeah,
you know,
long time.
Yeah, a long time.
And a lot of searching.
It's worth respecting.
Yeah.
It's not time to make your disco album yet.
Exactly.
Not yet.
Maybe someday, though, right? So no new music that you've heard lately?
There is. I'm still thinking. Okay.
Jeremy?
I don't know.
Have you seen any new bands I should hear about?
I got into, like, Bunny Lee and this group, the Arabs, this old dub stuff from the 70s, like Jamaican dub is what I've gotten into recently. Just kind of go to Euclid Records in New Orleans and ask the dude which dub record to get, and then he gives you one, and you go listen to it, and it's awesome.
Okay.
That's what I like, you know. Budding
dub aficionado.
Yeah.
I just like it. I actually got into it, and the first time we went to Belgium, the guy that brought us over there that time, Conrad, turned some on and was like, whoa, I like this a lot. So I'm into that. As far as new bands, Dead Rider out of Chicago.
That's a good band.
Off the chain.
Yeah.
So crazy. It's called like Slip Beat or something. I don't know. It's real weird. I love it. It's great.
You guys like The Sword?
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
Me too.
There's a band from Denton, friends of ours, called RTB2.
Yeah, they're really good.
I love those guys.
What are they like? What's their jam?
It's kind of, they're both like Captain Beefheart freaks.
Oh.
But it's not. It doesn't really sound like Beefheart. I mean, there's odd time signatures and things like that.
Denton.
And it's a little wild, but it's rock and roll. You know,
yeah.
It's very much like a, you know, up tempo, energetic
good
thing.
Stuff. Real good stuff.
RTB2.
RTB2.
And I don't know, man. I listen to a lot of old music, so I like, you know, it just depends. The Gun Club. You know, I'm a Jeffrey Lee Pierce fan, Nick Cave, Chris Whitley. My wife turns me on to stuff, but then I forget what it's called.
Oh, yeah.
You know,
the OCs. Have you heard that?
No.
Man,
Jeremy knows really more about new bands than I do.
Super good stuff, like Psych from San Francisco, but like not lumped into that whole. Just really good Psych.
Yeah.
Just.
Do
awesome.
You know Oranger?
Mm-mm.
Psych band from San Francisco?
No. Is it Orange Year?
Oranger?
Oh, no,
like,
I haven't heard that.
Like, I am oranger than you?
Dang.
Oh, I was thinking you were saying Oranger, like, orange was something that you do.
No.
And you're an oranger.
Oh, maybe it could be. Could be. Yeah. I don't know.
Like a fort.
That's how I heard it.
Capital with an A is the capital city, and the capital with an O is the capital building.
No, capital with an A is money. It's like how you build wealth.
Capital.
Like, I need some capital, you know, to build wealth.
So if I were to say Austin is the capital of Texas, then that's an O.
Yeah.
And anything that has to do with the Capitol building is this, and anything that has to do with financial capital is A.
Right.
Okay, and what's with the ring on the front?
Jeremy's dad made that sculpture. His dad's an artist, and I like his stuff, and I just kind of had this idea of this, you know, sort of strange looking piece of jewelry, like a diamond or a diamond ring. There's a lot of images of wealth in the lyrics,
and
that's like an image of wealth and prosperity in our culture, but I wanted it to be sort of not like it's an abstraction of a ring. That's not actually a ring. That's the inside of a duct tape.
It's a cardboard tube.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, it's about this big.
It's like it's unfinished on one side, and if you look real closely, you can kind of see some inconsistencies in it, which I think goes more to the point of the theme of the entire record is things are not always what they seem upon first glance.
Well, let's talk about that then, like an hour and a half into the podcast. So what's the album about?
There's
a whole theme.
Did you
write one song from this? Is it Jesus guy?
What's
did you write one song as Jesus?
Oh, no.
Was one song?
No, there's biblical motifs in it.
Yeah, there's a lot.
And you don't want to put too fine a point on song lyrics. You know, it's like when somebody asked T.S. Eliot to explain The Wasteland, and he said, "Do you want me to say it worse?"
Yeah.
You know, so I don't like to, it's sort of like, you don't want to show the man behind the curtain or anything. It's more about like how the lyrics, like what kind of impact do they have on the listener? because right. I know that they can mean different things to different people, but there is it is sort of about things that I see in humans that is that things aren't going so well and they could be better.
The human yeah. condition.
Yeah. So, you know, it's like a philosophical thing. Like
yeah.
just I mean
I just talked to that dude from the East Cameron Folklore. Uh-huh. You hear
yeah.
those guys?
Yeah, yeah, they're great.
They have also an intense worldview.
Yeah.
Yeah, they did that whole like 3-night stand at the Salvage Vanguard Theater. That's crazy, man.
Yeah, I didn't go to that, cool. but yeah,
there are things in society that, you know, get like politicized too. And there are things that like concern humans, and I feel like it's mainly America, I think, that this happens with the media and all that kind of thing, and it's there are things that are just like human concerns. And
well, don't you feel like they're almost like pacifiers instead of really worried about what's going on? Here's this thing, and it'll get your mind going on that while we.
Well, like, what do you mean, like a new car or something?
No, I mean like social media or like, you know, breaking news report or Hillary Clinton didn't use her email account.
Oh, yeah.
And, you know, where there's actual things like, oh, hey, you know, also the world's running out of water.
Right.
There's True. Some other things that are actually going on that we could probably concern ourselves with in the news rather than did this lady use her own email account or the government one. You know what I mean?
You also got to think that it's so hard to, like, people in America are working really fucking hard.
Yeah.
You know, everybody's working their ass off. So at the end of the day, man, you're tired. And it's like you're just trying to pay your mortgage and you're just trying to pay your car payment, make sure your kids can, you know, eat and you know, have like a decent life and everything. And you don't have time to save the world at the end of the day, you know? And
you don't.
So it's like you can understand that, you know?
Sure.
It's this, like, this, I'm certainly in no position to figure out any kind of, you know, way to solve these things, but...
We're all kind of guilty of pacifying ourselves, you know, in certain ways where I'm, like, more concerned with, like, why did they get, you know, Ben Affleck to play Batman as opposed to, like, things are melting in Antarctica at an unusual rate. Like, uh-huh. I'd spend a lot more time thinking about why did they get Ben Affleck to play Batman.
Because you might be able to do something about Ben Affleck being Batman.
The sad thing is I don't think I can.
You probably have more control over that than being able to do anything.
But you know what I mean. Like, you know, I mean, I find myself doing it. When I was talking to that dude from East Cameron Folklore, I felt guilty because he's like, oh, you know, you can go and inform yourself this way. And I was like, I know, it's so boring.
All right, I mean,
your new
what
album
do,
Capital will be in stores. Is there stores? Yeah, it'll be at Waterloo.
Yeah, it'll be at Waterloo.
You doing vinyl on this one?
Yeah, it doesn't come out not until like later, like this year. It's just on CD on the release date.
Okay.
Cinco de Mayo.
Yeah, I noticed that.
Fifth
also,
of May.
If you know, for the Austin listeners out there, we're playing a CD release party for it
at the Continental Club with T-Bird and the Breaks.
That's right. That's right.
That's going to be fun.
May 9th. Saturday,
May 9th. Get there. What time?
10 p.m.
Yeah. Andy's probably going to play some saxophone with us, too, which should be great.
No guarantees, though. But
yeah, Andy's a wild card.
Yeah.
Those guys have a great new album out. I was really... I'm into that album.
Me too.
Awesome. Yeah, I am. I'm, like, more into that album than anything they've done. Like, I was really blown away.
I like it
a lot. Excited when I heard it. I was like, oh, cool. This is, like, you know... There you go. That's two different kinds of bands playing together on a bill.
Yeah, man. We've been playing shows with them. We've been on tour
with
them. Yeah,
since you guys started with them. Yeah. Didn't you guys start out together, kind of?
They're a little bit younger than us, but we didn't start to cross paths until probably
Momo's.
4 years ago. I mean, playing shows together.
Okay.
Like when, I mean, Momo's, we were hanging out, and I became friends with Tim like a long time ago there.
Right.
And then it was like, it seemed weird, but it was like, why don't we get our bands to play together? Because, you know, they're a funk band. We're not. And
yeah.
So, but it was like, yeah, let's do it. And, you know.
But it's a show. It's going to be a good show.
Yeah, it's going to be a really good show.
About. It's like, if you're there to have fun, if you're there to have a party, then it's going to be a party.
Do you have, what do you have, like, are you playing, like, the whole album for this show, or pretty much the whole album? Is it going to be a long show? Do you know?
It'll be...
You do like an hour and a half, right?
Probably, yeah, 75 minutes, hour and a half. I don't know. I haven't written the set list yet.
That's good.
That kind of happens like 30 minutes before.
Sure. Yeah, I wasn't trying to be. It's but sometimes you never know. Sometimes like, people do
and
something.
Now presenting Capital.
Yeah.
Most likely that will not be how it happens.
Yeah. We might play some songs on the new record at the CD release.
Probably I would imagine maybe.
Yeah.
At least two or three.
Yeah.
So you have the release on May 9th, Saturday, May 9th at the Continental Club with T-Bird and the Breaks, and then you're going on tour of the Southeast and East Coast from May 15th to May 30th. Hitting such places as the Nick. I only say the Nick because there's, like, I've just played there for a long time.
You have?
Oh, yeah. When I get there, it's always, they got that picture of Ian with real long hair. They took down my picture. There was a Mr. Rocket Baby picture up
really?
There. And last time I was there, there was no picture.
We actually haven't ever played at the Nick.
Oh, you never have?
Nope. That's our first time. We're playing a bunch of places on this tour that we have played many times, but we're not the Nick is not one of them.
I would never say that you guys are the kind of people that would do this, but there's a guy in a tracksuit that will offer to sell you things. Do not go with him.
Thanks for the tip, Johnny.
That's what I give all the tip I give all my friends when they're going to the Nick. There is a guy in a tracksuit. He'll be there when you load in.
All right.
At the bar.
Okay.
Just chilling out.
Just say no.
Just say no.
Don't even try.
Tell Burke to immediately, like, hey, that guy's not welcome in the van.
You don't want it. Yeah.
You guys have a van?
Yeah.
Uh-huh. How big is the van?
Minivan.
Minivan.
Yeah.
Oh, God, so great to be a two-person band.
Yep. Incognito.
Easy to park, good gas mileage.
Yeah.
I mean, I could be a salesman for minivan.
How well?
Honda.
It's a Honda minivan?
Bright red.
Oh. How well do you guys get along? Like when you come back from a tour, how long before you hang out together again?
Sometimes that night.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's the best. I have a guy like that.
Yeah, it's just, I mean, we've been in a band together. We've been like all the way through the, you know, like rivalry stuff. I mean, we've been in, the band has had multiple members and we're still here. You know, standing in like the ruins of like relationships and people that have passed on to other things in life, and we're still standing. So it's like we're like the same person, you know, like almost like it. I can like just think stuff and he hears it, you know.
We're kind of like the yin yang twins.
Yeah.
In that way.
I think that's great.
Well, it's like we're married.
Yeah. That's
I mean,
a
that's
good...
like, that's what people always say. So, I mean, it is like that. It really is.
Does your
I am
wife
married, so I know
feel
that.
It's weird?
No.
They like it.
Yeah. You have a wife too.
Yeah,
our wives are very independent people.
Are they bros too?
They like hanging out.
Yeah,
oh, cool. That's
watching,
awesome.
As Nathan says, truly terrible television shows.
Oh, that's cool. That's cool.
They do. They hang out and watch truly terrible television shows.
and then they hang out with your son. What's his name?
My son.
Yeah,
Jack.
Jack.
Yeah, yeah.
That's a good name.
It is
good,
strong
name.
He'll grow into it.
Jack.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's got to roll up the sleeves right now, but he'll grow into it.
Yeah, and what's he doing? Is he doing anything?
What's
like,
he into?
Is he saying stuff? Is he?
Yeah, he talks a lot. He likes to, you know, just run around, bounce balls, throw rocks at things. You know, eat ice cream and go-gurts and stuff like that.
Hey, don't be just feeding him kid. Any of that Bluebell.
No Bluebell?
No.
Yeah, I just heard it's, that. I
people are dying left and right.
Up,
what?
Listeria, dude.
Listeria. I don't even know what that is. I thought that was a tree. That's a tree, right?
I thought
Listeria is a tree.
I've never heard of that word.
Wisteria.
Yeah. And then there's Listerine.
Yeah.
And there's mystery.
Yeah. Yeah, there's some people died in Kansas. Three people died. A lot of people been sick from it. They're pulling it.
They recalled all of it.
They recalled.
Wow. That's horrible.
I know. It's a dark day in Brenham.
Which I think that I'm probably just going to throw my pint in the trash instead of trying to take it back and get a refund. What do you think?
I'd say just go back in and see if you can trade it in for some Ben and Jerry's.
You think I could get my money back?
I don't think so. I don't think that's how recalls work.
Hmm.
Okay, so back to Capital. You can get this at the shows, probably at Waterloo Records.
Yep.
And Demeanor Records.
Yep.
Do you all the local record stores here? If you're in Austin,
yeah,
you do Antone's Records, you go to Encore.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, totally.
Good.
End of an Ear, I like all of them, and you have to go to all of them. Austin, you have great record stores.
Great record stores.
Most cities don't. It's a thing. So go buy records. Even if you don't need it, just buy it because they need your money. Yep. End of an Ear is probably my favorite.
That's
they have the best, like, overall, I feel like, music that I'm most into, like, they're going to have it. Like, a lot of punk and a lot of jazz and blues.
Yeah.
They've got all that, you know.
So yeah.
That's probably my favorite.
Antones is good for blues, too.
Antones
and
is good for blues.
I find that Encore is real good for punk.
Yeah, yeah.
And then Waterloo, kind of like, if you want, like, a brand new Pet Sounds vinyl or something, you can go there. And,
they're going to have all that kind of stuff.
Yeah,
Waterloo's
got
everything.
What's that new place, though, that...
there's another place?
South Congress with all the hi-fi equipment.
Oh, yeah.
They've
What's
got
that?
Some really cool
I think
stuff
it's called Sound Gallery. They got an espresso bar.
What?
And they sell, like...
super, like, boutique hi-fi audio equipment. It's really cool.
And they've got a great record selection. It's, like, just a cool place to go walk around, and it's just, it's really
it's just
neat.
Just south of Ben White on Congress.
Okay.
It's very much like an Austin thing. Like,
yeah.
Like, you're like, wow, this is, you know...
How are you guys dealing with the new Austin? Like, I mean... Look, when we first met and stuff, like even like 5 years ago, when I first moved into these apartments and I was playing at Momo's a lot.
I thought you'd lived here for like 20 years, man.
No, 5 years.
Oh, okay.
5 years this June.
I was
but then
mistaken.
Like 5 years ago, and it's a different town now.
Yeah.
Like there's apparently a pool at the club that where Momo's used to be.
Yep. A
cool.
Rooftop pool.
Oh, that's so cool.
That's so awesome.
I mean, I hate to say that, but it's pretty cool.
Yeah,
sorry,
I mean,
I think
I
it's cool
know.
That there's a pool at a club.
People like
it's not a club though, is it?
Oh, it's not.
It's just a pool now.
No, it's a bar. Yeah, oh. It's like a bar. You know, it's like a.
I bet there's fuckloads of piss in that pool.
You can be
imagine if everybody's that. Drinking, ugh. Especially you know beer drinkers.
Sorry,
but
go ahead.
I don't know. Everybody. I mean, a lot of people complain about that stuff.
Well,
but people have been doing that, man. Like when I moved here in 1999,
sure.
And people were like. Place used to be cool, man. It sucks now. They
Dude.
Tore down Liberty Lunch.
Oh.
I never got to go to Liberty Lunch, but I still like this town.
Yeah.
You know, like I moved here like 3 months after Liberty Lunch got torn down.
The optimistic way to look at it is the kids will move wherever they get pushed out of and start another cool club, and then eventually that'll get torn down and the kids will keep moving because I think the spirit is here and I think that it'll stay here, you know, hopefully. Hopefully it doesn't get priced out. I guess it'll just move to San Marcos.
I don't know. I'm not a sentimental or nostalgic person. So
Round Rock, maybe Pflugerville.
It doesn't. I don't think. All I see is like, we play like we do that Tuesday night at the Blackheart thing, right? And so, I mean, this is a very narrow view, but that's what it's supposed to be. The reason that we're able to do that, the reason that it's something that's financially viable, is because there's all those bars on that street, on Rainy Street. And it's like, admittedly, like I'm too old to walk up and down that street and just go drinking and stuff. But I play music there. I play at Blackheart every Tuesday night. And there'll be a ton of people in there. And there are people from all over the world. And they are staying in some hotel down the street. And where do they go? They go down to Rainy Street. This is something that is possible because of the new Austin, quote unquote new Austin. You know what I mean? Like the fact that we're able to do that.
Yeah.
I mean, like we get to ride on that. I don't know, who knows how long it will last. But I mean, when you're a musician, you know, you need that. You need things like that. And
you need things like that.
I mean, so it sucks that I don't know, Antone's closed, you know, but years ago CBGB's closed too. I mean, that's just
right
in
to
New
me,
York,
to me,
know?
To
so.
Me, Antone's closing is not. I think that that has something different to do than just Austin's growing. I mean, Antone's could have done things probably different. I mean, I'm not at all downing it. That's like my jam, and I love Susan and all that stuff. I don't know if it's been. It's kind of been like tossed around like a hot potato, like that particular place.
Yeah,
than
yeah.
Other
well,
places,
its whole existence.
Really.
It's been like a bunch of locations.
Yeah.
But what I'm saying is that like there's it's the, you know, the problem with you know it, the city's growing that something like 80 people move here a day or something like that, you know. But like everybody just gets so pissed when they tear down a strip center, you know, yeah. to build like a high. It's like they're like, you're gonna build this high rise, taking the soul away from the city. It's like, man, it was just a shitty strip center that was yeah. built in the 70s.
And you know, and
it's
you,
not like the people that owned it, or it's not like the people who had stores in this strip center were like, oh, the strip center was so beautiful. You know what I mean?
Horseshoe Lounge, though, that's upsetting.
Well, it's all, something's upsetting somewhere. All everywhere.
It's not that I don't care. You gotta it's just that it's, yeah, yeah. It's not. It's not something to be sad. It's not something to change. Gonna cry change. About.
But
you know what
on,
I mean?
And not on a crying level. It is though shocking at the speed of development.
True.
Yeah.
I mean, when you drive down South Lamar,
mm-hmm.
Shake Shack though.
Oh,
Shake
really?
Shack. Shake Shack is legit.
Yeah, that's a New York burger place. Yeah, yeah, yeah. South Lamar. Delicious. It's good.
I didn't know that.
Yeah,
delicious. I didn't know they moved. I had one in New York.
Yeah, well, there's going to be
one
on
the concrete
now.
Thing, the like blizzard.
No,
it's like a blizzard, but
that's what
it's called
get?
A concrete. Oh,
but
man.
It's a jam.
Mm-hmm. It's good.
Well,
I mean, 40 years from now, man, they're going to be tearing down some mixed use urban yeah. development and being
yeah.
like,
"Oh, someone's
going to
be
the
like,
soul
oh.
of the city."
Yeah,
you know,
that's where Wheatsville Co-op was, man. I remember 2015 when they opened the doors of that Trader Joe's.
It's just like, what are you going to do? You know, I mean, and
nothing. I appreciate that outlook. You accept growth and change. Because that's what's going to happen.
It's not that sometimes you don't get a little miffed because one
sure.
of your spots closes down, but ultimately, you know, like I said, hopefully the spirit remains. You know, you just move to wherever it's going to be next.
Right. Like, I didn't think that in the grand scheme of the world, Antone's moving over here was the greatest idea.
Yeah.
But in the grand scheme of me, it was awesome because I could walk there. You know what I mean?
Yeah. And that's to say nothing of the fact that the city is becoming too expensive for working class musicians to live in.
Oh, yeah.
That's a whole other conversation.
Yeah.
And it is a problem, a huge problem. But the general changing of the city and things being different, it's just, I don't know. I guess I get more tired of hearing people complain about it than I do watching it happen.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. I get tired of hearing people complain about it, too. So,
I hate
tragedy.
It.
Their new album, Capital, will be out May 5th. You can get it on iTunes. You can order it from your website.
I mean,
on May 5th.
Yeah.
There's
some pre-sales. It's one of these days.
Okay.
It might be. By the time this airs.
It's going to be May 5th.
Oh, this airs on May 5th?
May 5th.
Yeah, then you can order it. That's why you're saying everything like it's already out.
Yeah,
I get it.
I'm excited about trying to pump this thing.
Yeah, it's out now. It's on iTunes. It's on. It's all over the place. Go buy it.
They new record drop. Go out and get it now. Is there anything that I'm missing? Get out there and check out thesideshowtragedy.com. You can find out if these guys are coming to a town near you. It's an incredibly energetic show. You guys are an incredible band. For just
Thanks.
Two dudes, it's almost like there's four.
I like that.
So,
yes.
Yeah. And you can read. There's tons of reviews. So if people don't know, if they're listening to this and they're like, why is this guy on the thing? And then they'll find out why. You guys are great. This is the third time on the show, I think.
Yep. Thanks for having us, man.
Hey, anytime.
It's always
this is I like you guys a lot as people. And I feel like we're kind of family in a way.
Yeah.
And then also Orphaned by Paulo Vasey.
That's true. Oh, yeah.
I don't mind throwing that around.
And I didn't even think about that whole Changing Austin thing. And we're like true casualties of that, like the cultural shitification or whatever they say, you know, like these developers bought the building that Momo's was in. And then like the you know, the structural, it became structurally unsound or whatever. And then the business closed and, oh, we're all orphaned.
Now there's a pool.
You know, and so all that stuff. And it's like, even that, I'm not going to be bitter about it, you know?
No.
just don't think that's the right attitude to have.
No.
Even though it sucks. Like,
yeah.
It's like, don't be bitter about it.
Yeah, everything changes.
Yeah.
Everyone get out there and get this record. You can go to thesideshowtragedy.com. They'll also be doing a record release show if you are in Austin at the Continental Club on Saturday, May 9th, with the great T-Bird and the Breaks.
Woo!
Show starts at 10. I'm excited about that show. I won't be here, but in spirit, I will be there.
We'll be thinking about you while we're on
Skype.
I'll be thinking about you guys.
Set up an iPad on the stage.
You know what? I have a computer with my keyboard set up with Skyrocket. I could just tune in and watch your show.
We'll Snapchat the whole thing.
Glad to know you're so present at your gigs.
Oh, in case anyone from Skyrocket is listening, I've never watched a Netflix movie at a gig. Thank you guys so much for coming out. The record is incredible.
Thank you.
And people can also find your last record, Persona, on there as well.
Yeah.
It's also available on vinyl. Yeah. All right. So, yeah, let me know when the vinyl comes out.
I will. Pimps and police. The thieves got all, but they just want more. The palms of the priest are easy to grease.
Yeah. The Sideshow Tragedy. Pick up their album, Capital. It's out today, May 5th, Cinco de Mayo. ¿Qué pasa? ¡Ripatú! I want to thank Jeremy and Nathan for coming by. It was their third time on the show. Always a pleasure to have them. Jeremy is so fucking funny, man. That guy makes me laugh so much. Thank you, Jeremy, for making me laugh. Pick up their album, Capital, today. TheSideshowTragedy.com. Also, you know, when you're out there on the internet, you remember, on Facebook, you can like our Facebook page. You can follow me on Twitter and Instagram. I'm at Johnny Gowdy. You can subscribe to this podcast on iTunes and on Stitcher. You'll get a new show every Tuesday, every Friday. I don't know exactly what show is coming out on Friday. We're all in for a big surprise. Find out Thursday. You'll see a picture of me and the guests if you go to the Facebook page. Go there and like it. You'll be kept up on things. All things How Did I Get Here? And things with the guests. All right, let's hear a little bit more music from the Sideshow Tragedy from their new album, Capital, out today. Congratulations, guys. Don't forget their record release May 9th at the Continental Club here in Austin. And then they are doing a record release tour from May 15th to May 30th of the Southeast and East Coast, New York, Nashville, North Carolina, places of this nature. Find out where they're going. They're coming to a town near you, thesideshowtragedy.com. All right, thank you so much for listening. I'm Johnny, and I'm out of here. Baby, have a good week. Here's a little more Sideshow Tragedy. Let's get down.
Let's try that again.
Summer's here. And the tramps are on the move. Down to a trailer bed from Chicago to LA. Underneath the grease, you can taste the decay. Fortunes forgotten on the south side of Detroit. There's a man with a megaphone. He says God has made his point. Bloody greenbacks blowing down the street and broken children's hands just out of reach. As you open the door, I put one foot out of the car, you hear something break. How long till they make good? Son sleeps in his car outside Shreveport. Fugitives and feudal lords as software engineers on life support. No one understands or even asks the right questions anymore. Just like you. Just like you. You sit back in your chair, a sweaty plasma screen mistake. You've read all the reviews, you bought all the best guns and duct tape. Oh, look out for number one, take care of mama, son, I hear you doing great. Another summer with no shoes on his feet and nothing on his plate.